This is Fire Shut Up In My Bones, bringing to the world the gospel message of Jesus Christ. Stay tuned for today's message, entitled Obeying God. Obeying God. Good morning, and thank you for joining our program today. Today we're preaching Obeying God. If you just got saved, that means you realize that you're on the way to hell, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. And you accepted God's free invitation by calling upon his name. The Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That means you put your trust in God and ask Jesus to save you. This sermon is for you. The next step is to obey God. Read your Bible. The Bible says, giving in too much reading, the Bible says, until I come, study to show thyself approved. But giving in too much reading, the Bible says, go to church, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together. Why is that? You need to learn doctrine, which means teachings. You need to read your Bible. That's how God teaches you things. The Holy Spirit will bring into remembrance everything that you've learned, the Bible says. And you need to surround yourself with like-minded Christians, okay? So let's obey God. So this sermon, I really do believe, will be a blessing to you. It was definitely a blessing to me when I was reading this in my devotions. So let's go to Numbers chapter 22, verse 20. And Balaam answered and said unto the servants of Balak, if Balak will give me his house full of silver and gold, I cannot go beyond the word of the Lord my God to do less or more. You know, that is very specific. He said, I'm not going to do less than what God said, and he's not going to do more than what God said. I'll give you an example. Hopefully it fits. If someone asks for one piece of chicken and one bowl of rice, do exactly what the man asks for. Don't give him two pieces of chicken and two pieces of rice. That might be a bad example, but this verse indicates specific obedience. So in Numbers chapter 22, we read that the king of Moab, Balak, asked Balaam, a soothsayer, to curse Israel. So the king of Moab was distressed about Israel, and he wanted them cursed, destroyed, and he needed Balaam's help to do it. Though Balaam was indeed wicked, we see for a brief moment his obedience to God. Yes, we see a brief moment of his obedience to God. We proceed in our message, and as we proceed in our message, I find it very interesting that the Moabites are descendants of Lot. Therefore, the Israelites and the Moabites have a similar relationship in blood. I guess you can say they're cousins, if you will. All right, because Lot was the nephew of Abraham. A little bit of bloodline there. Okay, so let's get into this. Lord, please help us with this. Teach us, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. And it says here we could go to Numbers chapter 22. And let's get a backstory about this, okay? It says, and the children of Israel set forward and pitched in the plains of Moab on the side of Jordan by Jericho. And Balak the son of Zippor saw all that Israel had done to the Amorites. And Moab was sore afraid of the people because there were many, and Moab was distressed because of the children of Israel. And Moab said unto the elders of Midian, now shall this company lick up all that are around about us, as the ox licketh up the grass of the field. And Balak, the son of Zippor, was king of Moabites at that time. He sent messengers therefore unto Balaam the son of Beor to Pethor, which is by the river of the land of the children of his people, to call him, saying, behold, there is a people come out from Egypt. Behold, they cover the face of the earth, and they abide over against me. What an idiot. Israel didn't do anything to Balak. So that's just a dumb lie. Come now, therefore, I pray thee, curse me this people, for they are too mighty for me. Peradventure, now peradventure means perhaps, I shall prevail that we might smite them and that I may drive them out of the land. For I wot, now that's W-O-T, wot means for I know. See, the Bible's not hard to understand. For I know that he whom thou blessest is blessed and he whom thou cursest is cursed. So he's saying, Balaam, I know that you can curse people and I know that you can bless people. So Balak is trying to hire Balaam to curse Israel for no stinking reason. Okay, so let's get to our first point. The offer of great promotion. The offer of great promotion. Let's go to Numbers chapter 22 and start in verse 15. Actually, let's go to 13, okay? And Balaam rose up in the morning and said unto the princes of Balak, get into your land. Let me give a backstory. So, as I said, Balak is trying to hire the service of Balaam to serve him. So, Balak sends princes to Balaam to give him word like, hey, I need your help to curse Israel for me, okay? Can you come with me so we can destroy Israel? I need your help. So starting in verse 15, and 13. And Balaam rose up in the morning and said unto the princes of Balak. Now, actually, let me go back. Okay, see, all right. Verse 7. And the elders of Moab and the elders of Midian departed with the rewards of divination in their hand. And they came unto Balaam and spake unto him the words of Balak. That's the stuff I just mentioned. And he said unto them, lodge here this night, and I'll bring you word again as the Lord shall speak unto me. And the princes of Moab abode with Balaam. So these are the princes, are the guys that King Balak sent to Balaam. And God came unto Balaam and said, what men are these with thee? And Balaam said unto God, Balak, the son of Zippor, king of Moab, hath sent me, saying, behold, there is a people come out of Egypt, which covereth the face of the earth. Come now, curse me them. Peradventure, I shall be able to overthrow them and drive them out. Here's what God says. And God said unto Balaam, thou shalt not go with them. Thou shalt not curse the people, for they are blessed. By the way, if you curse Israel, any nation that messes with Israel, they will get cursed. And Balaam rose up in the morning and said unto the princes of Balak, get you into your land, for the Lord refuses to give me leave to go with you. And the princes of Moab rose up, and they went unto Balak and said, Balaam refuses to come with us. And Balak sent yet again princes more. So he sent more princes. And more honorable than they. So they had a distinguished character. These men look impressive to look upon. Like, wow, look at this caravan of powerful looking men. They're in some type of position coming to me to give word of the king saying, hey, I need your help to go curse Israel. And they were more honorable than they. And they came to Balaam and said to him, thus saith Balak, the son of Zippor, let nothing, I pray thee, hinder thee from coming unto me. For I will promote thee unto very great honor, and I will do whatsoever thou sayest unto me. Come therefore, I pray thee, curse me this people. So now, the first point, the offer of great promotion. Distinguishable men from Moab presented an offer to Balaam. Balak knew that Balaam was the qualified man for the job and was willing to compensate him greatly. This is what happens to us today, brethren. The world attempts to offer us an offer we can't refuse because they want us. Sadly, this is a trick from the devil to get us to go beyond the word of God, to disobey the word of God. Remember, the devil is trying to sift you like wheat, and any way he can get you away from the Lord is the devil's victory and our downfall. That's what I'll jump ahead, but you know that the Bible says, woe unto the man that giveth his neighbor strong drink. You get your CDL. And you apply for jobs, and next you know, some beer company wants you to drive their beer truck. you're going to get paid $35 an hour to be on the road delivering beer. That's going to be a curse unto you. Are you going to disobey the word of God for more money? Trust me, you're going to get cursed. Okay? The world asks you, can you work on a Sunday? You offered Monday through Friday, Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, but they want you to come in and work on a Sunday. Okay? You say, man, the Bible says not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together as the manner of some is. But the guy says, okay, if you work on a Sunday, not only will I pay your usual wage, I will give you bonuses and a free vacation. Like, man, that sounds really good. What are you going to do? Or if you were willing to work on Sundays, I'll make you supervisor. You used to get paid $17 an hour. You're going to get paid $21 an hour. All you got to do is work on a Sunday. I'll give you a manager position, promote you, get to boss people around, and you don't have to work as hard as you used to. What are you going to do? These things do happen. It's happened to me. I was offered to be a manager at Papa John's. They asked me to come and work on a Sunday and all this. But God has blessed me. Okay? Now, look at Balaam's reply to all of this. Okay? So, now we're on point number two. So, point number one was the offer of great promotion. That was the king was going to promote him and do whatever Balaam says, as long as if he goes against God. God already said, Balaam, do not curse Israel. And then this man, Balak, is trying to tempt him to curse Israel for great wealth, in exchange for great wealth. Okay? Point number two, his position was solidified. You know, when you solidify something like a piece of steel, that's an alloy, okay? It's solidified. It's hard. It's not easy to move, bend. It's strong. We have to be strong for the Lord no matter how the temptations present themselves. Okay, so Numbers 22, verse 18. So this is his reply. And Balaam answered and said unto the servants of Balak, if Balak will give me his house full of silver and gold, I cannot go beyond the word of the Lord my God to do less or more. Now, Balak is the king of Moab. This man is rich. And he's saying, hey, look, God told me not to curse Israel. I don't care if you give me a house full of gold or silver. I'm not going to go beyond the word of the Lord. That means he's not going to disobey. He's not going to do more or less. Now, he's like, man, what's wrong with doing more for the Lord? Balaam is being specific. He's trying to say he's going to do exactly what the Lord told him to do. So Balaam said if he was offered a house of gold and silver that he will not go beyond the word of the Lord. Balaam made sure to confirm he will not disobey his God. Today we might get a high-paying job only if we're willing to compromise church. Okay? I go to church Wednesday. It's Wednesday now. I'm going to church tonight. Wednesday night, prayer meeting. And some Bible teaching, Sunday morning, Sunday night, I go to church on a Sunday, okay? It's a commandment of the Lord, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together as the manner of some is. Not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together as the manner of some is. That, if you want to read it, is in Hebrews 10:25. That's a command. So what are you going to do? Are you going to take that job on a Sunday and disobey the Lord God that sent his son to die on the cross for your sins? You're bought with a price. Because of Jesus Christ, you're not going to hell. Are you going to work on a Sunday? Are you going to disobey God? Are you going to go beyond the word of God? Balaam made sure to confirm he will not disobey God. I mentioned the beer truck. CDL drivers makes a lot of money. You can take other jobs. Drive for the grocery store. Tempted to skip tithing to save more money. There is another one. I've seen that before. The Bible clearly states giving a 10% of our income to the Lord. Okay? What are you going to do? Man, I just don't have enough money. I think God will understand. Look, man, from my own experience, when I didn't have any money, I was like, man, you know, I don't have any money. I'm going to tithe anyway. Man, I'm serious. I'm not making this up. I still have food in the refrigerator. Things are still getting paid for. I still have the car that God gave me. I'm paying for it. All because I'm tithing and obeying God in my tithes. You know, let me promise you this. It's very exciting to see what God will do for an obedient child of God. If you want to see how good God is, take the next step and practice what God has commanded you. Okay? A few verses that I'll read. I'm not going to read a whole lot, but wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, this is Matthew 6:30, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Oh, I have to work on a Sunday. I need to provide for my wife and child. O ye of little faith, God will clothe you. Matthew 6:8, be not therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask him. Don't you think God knows that you're providing for a wife and child? You need formula and food and clothes before you even ask for it. God already knows what you want. Philippians 4:19, but my God will supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Jesus Christ. Psalms 37:25, I have been young and now I'm old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken nor see begging bread. David, all of his life, he's been obeying God and he's never seen the righteous forsaken by God or begging in the streets. God will take care of you. Just do what God says. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. You should never be in want. Like I said, I'm content. God is feeding me, not my job. It's the job that God gave me. My own God is feeding my wife and my son. 2 Corinthians 9:8, and God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always, having all sufficiently in all things, may abound to every good work. That means God supplies for your needs so you can work for him and serve him. I'll do one more. Romans 8:26. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know that we shall pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Hey, the Holy Spirit living inside of you knows what you need. He's already talking to God, saying, hey, Darian needs this. Brother Tom needs this. Hey, Dad needs this. Okay? So back to the sermon. God will take care of you. Okay? Let me see. His position was solidified. Okay? So Balaam made sure to confirm he will not disobey his God. Today we might get a high-paying job only if we're willing to compromise church, drive a beer truck, compromise our standards, tempted to skip tithing to save more money. Those are the things that the world tries to tempt us with. Point number three. Disobedience meant with a divine opposition. Disobedience meant with a divine opposition. Go to Numbers 22. Starting in verse 20. Okay? And God came unto Balaam at night and said unto him, if the men come to call thee, rise up and go with them. But yet the word which I shall say unto thee, that shalt thou do. And Balaam rose up in the morning and saddled his ass and went with the princes of Moab. Okay, so he disobeyed here. You were like, what? Verse 22, and God's anger was kindled before because he went, and the angel of the Lord stood in the way for an adversary against him. Now he was riding upon an ass, and his two servants were with him. Now look, guys. God said, if the men come to call thee, go with them. In verse 21, he goes, and it says, and Balaam rose up in the morning and saddled his ass and went with the princes of Moab. Did the men come to Moab the next day? No. Did the men of Moab come to Balaam the next day? No. Right? What did God say? He said, if the men come to thee, go with them. But did they go with Balaam? No. So he disobeyed God. Let me repeat it. God said, hey, if they come to you, go ahead and go with them. If they don't, stay over here. In the next verse, Balaam gets up and goes with the men. See, he disobeyed God. And God's anger was kindled because he went. And the angel of the Lord stood in the way for an adversary against him. I'm not going to read the whole thing for sake of time, but 22 verses 35, I believe that this was actually Jesus standing right here because of the way he was talking. It says, and Balaam said unto the angel of the Lord, okay, this is what the angel of the Lord says. And the Lord, angel of the Lord said unto him, wherefore hast thou smitten thine ass these three times? Behold, I went out to withstand thee, because thy way is perverse before me. Look at the authoritative conversation that Jesus is taking here. Only God with some authority has, with some authority, I'm sorry, with all authority, talks like this. So I believe that this is Jesus right here, not just an angel. Okay? And Balaam admitted that he did wrong. And he said, you know what? I've sinned against you, Lord. I'm going to do right. But disobedience with the divine opposition. The Lord withstood Balaam. Hey, guys, for those who just got saved, you don't want God to chastise you. Okay? You don't want God to chastise. What does that mean? Chastisement is correction. You disobey God, God will chastise you for it. Why is that? Because he wants to correct you back onto the right path of righteousness. Again, that's what chastisement is. Chastisement is God correcting us to get us. Okay, so backsliding is when you get off the path of righteousness, and then God chastises you to get back on to the path of righteousness. It's the same thing with a child. You have your son, he keeps interrupting people's conversations. He disobeys you, you have to spank him, and then he gets right back onto manners and stops interrupting people when they're talking. You love your son. You tell your son, don't go in the street because if you'll get run over. He starts playing near the street. You spank him, you discipline, you beat him so that he doesn't go in the middle of the street and get run over by a car. You love him. God loves us. In Hebrews 12:6, it says, For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourges every son whom he receiveth. You are a son of God. You are a child of God. The Bible says, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. Okay, so you disobey God, he will spank you to get you back onto the right path. And that's what basically was happening to Balaam. The donkey crushed his leg up against the wall, and all this kinds of stuff to save his life from Jesus. And Jesus stood in opposition to him. You disobey God. You took that job on a Sunday. Next thing you know, that beautiful car that you bought because of the extra money, bam, crashes. You want to do jiu-jitsu on a Sunday. Suddenly, you get your ACL torn out. You get a concussion, all right? You want to do a Spartan. By the way, I don't like Spartans. But anyway, you do a Spartan race on a Sunday, and then you pass out while they're running. Why is that? Because you disobeyed God. You turned those things into an idol. Okay? What else? What else can I use as an example? Mother's Day. You skip church because it's Mother's Day. While you're driving to her house, you get into a car wreck. Okay? Those are the type of things I'm talking about. Those types of chastisements. Okay? Disobedience with the divine opposition. So, Balaam disobeyed God. God withstood him. And then Balaam admitted that he sinned and carried out the commandments of the Lord and blessed Israel. So Balaam blessed Israel. So like I said, God withstood Balaam. Balaam admits that he sinned. It says, Balaam said unto the angel of the Lord, I have sinned, for I knew not that thou stoodest in the way against me. Okay. And then he gets right back on track to bless Israel and not curse Israel. Now, this is what Balak says. Okay, when you have time, guys, please read Numbers 22 because I skipped some verses. Now, this is what Balak says. Look what he says. Okay. And the Lord put a word in Balaam's mouth and said, return unto Balak, and thus thou shalt speak. Wait. I don't think I'm in the right. Okay, I'm sorry. Go to Numbers 24. Let's start in 10. So this is right after Balaam, instead of cursing Israel, blesses Israel instead. This is what Balak says. And Balak's anger was kindled against Balaam, and he smote his hands together. Okay? And Balak said unto Balaam, I called thee to curse mine enemies, and behold, thou hast altogether blessed them these three times. Therefore now flee unto thy place. I thought to promote thee unto great honor, but lo is like explanatory. It's like an excitement, like, whoa, look at this. But lo, the Lord hath kept thee back from honor. So the fourth point and the last point is the world claims that God holds us back. Hey, you want to make more money? Work on a Sunday. Oh, I can't. God wants me to go to church and worship him on a Sunday. What? Man, why will that God hold you back from getting money, from getting rich? Hey, you're a great athlete, man. You ran 9.68 seconds or 6.9 seconds of the 100 meter dash. I want you to be in this liquor commercial, this booze commercial, this beer commercial. I can't. Woe unto man that giveth his neighbor strong drink. I abstain from all appearance of evil. What? You will get a $5 million deal for making this liquor commercial with me. Come on, just do it. And you say, no, I can't do that. I can't disobey my God. I cannot go beyond the word of the Lord. And then the guy says, what? Why will God hold you back? Okay? That's what the world tells us. But guess what, guys? Let me tell you a testimony. I used to work at Papa John's. They wanted me to work on a Super Bowl Sunday. And they had signs threatening me. Signs all over the building. My manager put signs all over our building saying, no show on Sunday, no show on Monday. And I'm like, man, from my youth, from as a child growing up, I witnessed my dad taking us out on vacation. And guess what? We were still on a church on a Sunday. Okay? We did not vacation from God. By the way, for those who take a vacation, whenever you take a vacation from God, don't be surprised if God takes a vacation from you, all right? But anyway, like I said, my dad said this. So many Christians vacation from God, but they don't want God to vacation from them. Lord, help me, God will say. God says, I'm on vacation right now. Sorry, you're going to have to let Gabriel take care of it. Okay, that doesn't happen, all right? Don't let that happen is what I'm saying. You know, the Lord will hide his face from you if you have iniquity. So obey God. Disobedience met with an opposition. So, okay. Point number four, as I mentioned, the world claims that God holds us back. So I was working at Papa John's. And like I said, signs everywhere. Don't show up on Sunday. Don't bother to show up on Monday. That means if you don't work on the Sunday, you will get fired. So I told my boss, I said, hey, man, sir, Mr. Shorter, I forgot his first name. I cannot work Sunday. I go to church. And I mean, first of all, during the interview, that is what we agreed on, that I cannot work on Sundays. Dan, I need you. You need to work on Sunday. Just like Balak telling Balaam, Balaam, I need you to curse Israel. So they were like, Darian, I need you to work Sunday. It's going to be busy. And he says, no, Darian, I need you to work on a Sunday. We need you to work on Sunday. And I refused. So having faith in God, I still went to church on a Sunday and then went back to work on a Monday. Like I said, I witnessed my father never skipping church. I mentioned it earlier. We always went to church on a vacation. So I was taught these things. Dr. Ron Fenwick, don't skip church. All these things. So it was ingrained in me. I had confidence in it. Went to work Monday, and I got a call into the office, right? Actually, before that, the big shot manager walked into the office and said, and he even had the other supervisor there that was trying to have me work on Sunday. He looked at both of us and said, Darian, go to church on Sunday. We can't force you to work on a Sunday knowing that you must attend church on a Sunday. And I was like, thank you, sir. He said, you really do a good job here. You work really hard. I wish we had more people like you. And bam, you know, why did that happen? Because I stood up for the Lord. God helped me out. God stood up for me, okay? The Bible says in 1 Samuel 2:30, right? They that honor me, I will honor. Let's read the whole thing, actually. Okay, so I said, man, you know what? I'm going to stand up for Jesus, man. I'm not going to skip church, disobey the God who died on the cross for my sins to work on Super Bowl Sunday for a bunch of God haters, all right? 1 Samuel chapter 2:30 says, wherefore, the Lord God of Israel saith, I said indeed that thy house and thine house of thy father should walk before me forever. But now the Lord saith, be it far from me, from them that honor me, I will honor, and they that despise me shall be lightly esteemed. Hey, I honored the Lord on his day. And you know what God did for me? God stood up for me and said, you know what? I got Darian's back. I'm not going to let this man get fired. And sent a manager to defend me from the other manager. Isn't it great? God will always take care of you. Psalms 84:11. I'm going to mention that. So the world says, man, God is holding you back from success, right? Now, at the time, I was attending school for IT, for information technology. And at the school, they provided opportunities for businesses to come in and interview us for IT jobs. One company that fixes banks, computers, you know, computers of the banks. He said, hey, I'm going to need you to work on a Sunday. And I said, hey, I'm willing to work on a Sunday in these hours. For example, go to church at such and such a time, get out, fix the computer, and then be at church in the evening. That's what I told him. And he looked at me with a sheepish grin. May I ask why you have to attend church twice a day on a Sunday? And I basically told him the example that we see in the book of John, the end of John, where they attended church on the first day of the week, which is a Sunday, and how they met in the morning and the evening. And he looked at me, looked down in his paper. You really can't work on a Sunday? And then I said, no, sir, I cannot work on a Sunday. And that would have been a lot of IT experience to really get me where I needed to go. He looked at the paper. Hey, you know, it was nice talking to you. The guy never called me back. Okay? Guess what? That's fine. It took me almost a good year to find a good IT job. Found an IT job, and now I'm making money. Praise the Lord. Or I'm making a decent amount of money. I stood up for the Lord. You know what God did? He blessed me. Now, the world would have said, Darian, you should have took that job until something better comes by. No, because I have confidence in the Lord that the Lord will help me out. And so I stood up for the Lord and refused that job. And God has blessed me with, you know, yeah. So always have faith in the Lord. Don't say, you know, some people will say, hey, what if you have to work? Well, we serve a God that will supply all our needs, the Bible says. I actually read those verses earlier. Have confidence that the Lord will... Oh, okay, tithing. I don't have enough to tithe. What are you going to do? You're going to put your trust in the Lord? I've had to do that, okay? Psalms 84:11. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. It says here, no good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. Did God withhold a good job for me? No. I stood up for the Lord, lost that job, and God gave me something better. I lost my job in the middle of this COVID-19 stuff. Okay? The lady was wicked. Okay? Firing everybody. Did I panic? No. I didn't even worry because I had confidence that the Lord would take care of me. Now I have a job that's easier and pays more. That's what God will do for you, and that's what God has done for me if you obey him. So, point number one, the offer of a great promotion. That means the devil is trying to tempt you with a good offer, and the only way you can get that offer is if you disobey God. Point number two, his position was solidified. He was saying, hey, I cannot disobey God. That's what you have to tell the world. Sorry, I can't disobey God. Stand up for the Lord. Stand up for Jesus. All right, stand up for Jesus and he will stand up for you. If you deny God before men, God will deny you. Point number three, disobedience met with a divine opposition. Hey, if you don't do what God tells you to do, God will chastise you. Point number four and last, the world claims that God holds us back. They say, yeah, because you don't work on a Sunday, God's going to prevent you from making money. Okay, yeah, look at Chick-fil-A. They're making a lot of money because they're honoring the Lord. I wish we had more restaurants like them. Okay, look at me, little old me. I'm nothing special. I obeyed the Lord, and God blessed me with a good IT job. Praise God. And I can go on and on with this, but we'll close. And now we'll pray. Lord, thank you for this day. Bless this, amen. And now please enjoy this beautiful song entitled God Will Take Care of You. And it should be rolling in a few seconds. So thank you for listening. God bless.
Be not dismayed by enemies, God will take care of you. Beneath his wings of love abide, God will take care of you. God will take care of you through every day or all the way. He will take care of you. God will take care of you.
Through days of toil when hard to fail,
God will take care of you.
When dangers fierce your path assail,
God will take care of you. God will take care of you through every day or all the way. He will take care of you. God will take care of you. He will provide.
God will take care of you.
Nothing you ask will be denied.
God will take care of you. God will take care of you through every day. Take care of you. God will take care of you.
No matter what may be the test, God will take care of you. Lean weary one upon his breast, God will take care of you. God will take care of you through every day or all the way. He will take care of you. God will take care of you.
Thank you for listening to Fire Shut Up In My Bones. I pray that this was a blessing to you. Remember, David said, my soul followeth hard after thee, and thou hast upheld me with thy right hand. It's going to be hard to follow the Lord at times, but if you just do what the Lord tells you to do, God will help you with his divine hands. God bless.